Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
And somebody who knows this all too well about what I'm talking about, maybe knows it better than anybody, is Alex Cazora. Alex, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, maybe know all too well. Maybe I know too well. I know too well about Mr. Matthew Catrillo there.
I mean, Aaron Judge, if a guy for the A's hits three home runs and Judge gets a bunt single, we're playing the Judge highlight.
Absolutely.
Some people have a bad rep. You have a great rep, on the other hand. So let's get to what's going on. Look, you've been watching the Steeler camp. What have been some of the perceivable differences in what you've seen in this Steeler camp compared to the Steeler camp last year, which was the first in a long time without Ben Roethlisberger?
It's an identity. It's a vision for this offense. Last year, in that first year without Ben, trying to figure out who they were the youngest offense in football, and it certainly looked like that. Kenny Pickett was trying to figure out whether he was second string or third string, what his role would be, trying to get down the offense, and you see a group that has gone through all those extreme growing pains of a year ago, especially the first half of last year where they were 2-6, got blown up by Philadelphia, and were one of the worst teams in football. They're past those growing pains now, guys. And I don't know how good this offense will be in 2023. I don't think they're going to be a top five, top seven offense, but they are going to be far beyond what they were a year ago. They're past those growing pains, as I said. And so the collection of skill position talent, Kenny Pickett's second year, young guys making a jump, improved offensive line, that is by far the most notable thing about this team this summer.
Are you seeing any difference in approach by Matt Canada, Mike Tomlin, as to how they want to play offense because of the circumstances you just described?
I don't know if there's a radical approach. It's just more effective and more fine-tuning. And you saw that the back half of last year, the reason why they went 7-2 down the stretch was they ran the ball much more effectively. They played ball control. They were the best third-down offense in football, and they did not give the football away. It's such a cliche, I know, but the first half of last year, Pittsburgh, you know, they found ways to lose games, and to win a game, you have to not lose it first. And they eliminated the penalties. They eliminated the turnovers, and that's obviously carried over this year. But you've certainly seen this team be able to create some of those big explosive plays. Pittsburgh's offense did not have those big plays last year. And this year you're seeing 33 yards of George Pickens, 62-yard run by Jaylen Warren, 25-yard touchdown by Pat Freiermuth, Calvin Austin providing big plays in the return and receiving game. So you're seeing those chunk moments that just did not happen last year.
So I felt last year down the stretch, the Steelers did a good job of playing to Kenny Pickett's strengths, and they kept it safe and underneath. Is there a little more daring at times with this because he now has some game speed under his belt?
Yeah, I would say so. I track the camp stats. I know they're, you know, only mean so much, but I think you've seen some more aggressiveness. I don't think Kenny Pickett's deep ball is ever going to be anything more than average at best, but I think as you get more comfort and more chemistry with George Pickens, with Deontay Johnson, just more comfort in the system overall. Certainly last year, you know, Pittsburgh was playing pretty conservatively, trying to take care of the football and not, again, lose those games the back half of last year, and that probably had a more conservative offense that didn't take as many vertical shots. So I think this year, when there's just more comfort, more trust in your quarterback and your offense as a whole, that you're going to see a more aggressive mentality.
Against Buffalo, Joey Porter Jr. was able to grab an interception. What have been your thoughts on his progress in camp?
It's been good. He was tripped up by an ankle injury, caused him to miss a bit of time, but he was healthy for that Bills game. I think he's been, you know, there's always going to be a line for him to walk in terms of being grabby versus, you know, utilizing his rare length, those 34-inch arms. I think he's walked that line overall well, but he's been a real professional. He's learned a lot from some veteran guys in this room, Patrick Peterson, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and the guy's been technically sound and made some plays. And so still learning about him. You know, his first game was last week. Want to see him, and probably will see him quite a bit tonight against Atlanta. But overall, I've been encouraged by his play.
All right, so that, you know, that what's the read now on the overall defense? What kind of difference do you think Peterson makes? What kind of progress have you seen from Fitzpatrick? What have you seen in the linebackers?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen a lot more turnover there defensively than you have offensively, and I think Pittsburgh's inside linebackers have been, you know, it's a completely different room when you add Quan Alexander and Cole Holcomb and Mark Robinson, and they've been really good, and they've been intense, they've been physical and tone setters, and you did not get that enough from the defense last year. Patrick Peterson's going to wear a lot of different hats. He's going to play slot corner and passing downs. He's going to play some safety. He's going to be an outside corner in the team's base defense, obviously. I think the intangibles that him and offensively wide receiver Allen Robinson bring to some of those young guys, to a Joey Porter Jr. to kind of mentor him, that's a future Hall of Famer on your roster. You certainly take advantage of that if you're a rookie like Joey Porter. And then Minkah Fitzpatrick, I mean, he's Minkah. You know, it's probably nothing new, but I think there's enough versatility defensively to be able to put him in different spots so he's not just the pure deep free safety, and that'll be good for him, good for this defense.
Yeah, what have you thought of Allen Robinson to this point since you brought his name up?
I think he's everything that Pittsburgh needs him to be. You know, he's not going to be a big play guy. He's going to catch 40 passes for 400 yards and a couple of touchdowns, but he's going to move the sticks on third down. He's going to be a trusted weapon over the middle. I mean, he's only, you know, I thought against Buffalo, the only catch he had, it came on third and eight, and he sat down between two defenders in zone coverage, took a shot, made the catch, moved the sticks. I mean, that's what Allen Robinson's goal and job is to be in Pittsburgh. You know, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, those guys will do the big plays downfield. And then leadership as well. I mean, the way that he's mentored guys, and, you know, they needed kind of that veteran figurehead in this still pretty young wide receiver room with Pickens, with Calvin Austin, with others like them. And I think Robinson can work in the red zone too. His release package is still really strong. He still beats press coverage extremely well, and that's going to open up some short yardage opportunities for him.
Alex, they're in an interesting division because there is not a dominant team in the division. The Bengals have been good, but Joe Burrow's been hurt. We don't know what kind of player we're going to get and see in Deshaun Watson, because last year was so shaky after being out for such a long period of time, and Lamar Jackson can't play a full season. Is there some optimism in that camp because the division may very well be wide open?
I mean, I think it was optimism for just Pittsburgh being better. I think you recognize the AFC North and the AFC at large is very difficult, but Pittsburgh can and should compete. Playoffs need to be the expectation and the goal for this team, and it's reasonable to expect that for being a 9-8 team last year, and I think getting a lot better across the board this year. So I think the Bengals have still earned the right to be the favorites. I assume that Joe Burrow is going to be ready for week one, and assuming that he is, then the Bengals are going to be the team to beat, although they have some pieces to replace, especially with their safety tandem of Von Bell and Jesse Bates. Those were, I think, really big losses, but it's competitive, and I think it's going to come down to divisional play. You know, I probably told you guys the stat before, but last year across the AFC North, every AFC North team went 3-3 against each other, the only division to beat up on each other in that kind of fashion. And so if you can be that team that goes 4-2 against the North, then you may be the team that comes out on top. And I imagine that Week 18 game for Pittsburgh at Baltimore, the finale is going to mean a lot for both those squads.
And I agree. That's a great point. I don't think it's a great division. I think it's a division that is solid but not great. The AFC champion, in all likelihood, is not coming out of this grouping.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, I don't know if you have the champion, although the Bengals have certainly made a lot of pushes, and they're going to continue to try, but it is, there's so much talent. There is no quote-unquote easy game. Not that there's ever an easy game in the NFL, but it's always going to be competitive. And the Browns are the wild card. You know, what Deshaun Watson are you going to get? Are you going to get the Watson of last year, the guy that, you know, didn't look that great, obviously all the rust that he had, or will you get the prime Houston Texans top five quarterback in football, Deshaun Watson? If he's that kind of guy, then watch out for the Browns. Their defense is better. They have Nick Chubb. The O-line hopefully stays healthy. The receivers have gotten better. You add Cedric Tillman into that mix. So I think, to me, you know, I think the Bengals are who they are. The Ravens are generally who they are. I think Pittsburgh's development is kind of a wild card. And then certainly Deshaun Watson is going to be the true wild card to determine how the AFC North shakes out.
There is, obviously, with preseason games, you'll get the overreactions. And the flavor of the moment in the overreaction world is the run that Warren had. Now, Warren was very good last year. Not great, but very good. Where do you think he fits in with all this, especially with Harris?
You're right. There's been a lot of debate about that in Steelers land over the last couple of days. You know, who's better? Who's the guy? I generally tune a lot of that stuff out. But to answer your question, here's what Jalen Warren's role in 2023 will be. He'll be the third down back. That's what he was last year. So in pass protection situations, he's going to be the guy. He did a really good job there last season. And he will rotate with Najee Harris on early downs. Now, what exactly that split looks like, is it 70-30, 65-35? we'll have to wait and see. It'll probably be a bit game dependent. I know that Warren has gotten all the attention. He's had a really good camp. He's a really fun player to watch. But I would just say that Pittsburgh has been deliberately protective of Najee Harris. The only goal the Steelers have had with Najee Harris this summer is get him healthy to week one. He got hurt in camp last year, was hampered by a toe injury the first half of the season, looked better after the bye when he got healthier. So Pittsburgh's only goal this year with Najee Harris was to make sure he's 100% and ready for week one against the 49ers. That's why you're hearing less about Najee Harris this summer.
What do you think of Warren as a player?
I like him. I love the story. I'm a sucker, Steve, for guys with his kind of story. Snow College to Utah State to Oklahoma State, got a $12,000 signing bonus to come to Pittsburgh, and undrafted free agent that looked great last camp and made the team and is just true salt of the earth, work his way up the ladder type of dude. He's intense. He's competitive on special teams, in the run game, and pass protection. He's a really fun player. And you're right. I mean, I think he does offer more explosiveness and more big playability than Najee Harris. But I'm just happy that Pittsburgh has two talented backs for a run-focused offense. That's going to be a good thing for them, a good thing for this team. And so to me, it's not either-or between Harris and Warren. It's both-and. And it's really exciting to have two talented guys on this team.
We know what this team's record is with and without T.J. Watt. What kind of camp has he had?
It's been good. Not that I spend a lot of time on T.J. Watt, because I know T.J. Watt is good, and I'm looking at the other guys, but obviously he's been healthy, and that's just the main thing with him. As you mentioned, whenever he's healthy, Pittsburgh wins. When he's not, they lose. But I think the important thing to that position is the depth is much better. Not that you ever replaced T.J. Watt, but one reason why the defense stunk so much without him, they just had no depth behind him. You sign a veteran like Marcus Golden, and I'm sure you've seen clips of Nick Herbig in the summer. He's having the rookie from Wisconsin just been dynamite. And so I think Pittsburgh feels much better about their depth behind Watt. Should something happen again in the short term, they're much better protected.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it, because they need that. Again, such a swing with them as to how they play. I want to ask you about Herbig, because when he was at Wisconsin, they played Penn State. Really liked him. Thought he was a solid, rock-solid linebacker that plays the run well. And then, to his credit, not just plays the run well, but he's not that bad in the pass. What have you thought about this young guy?
He's been excellent. And I'll eat some crow here, because when they drafted him, I thought he might have to move off ball. Not because he was too short, but because of the lack of length. He's got 32-inch arms. And you wonder how well that would play in Pittsburgh.
Sure, right.
But so it's not been a concern. I think you're right. The run defense has been good, but the athleticism, the explosiveness, the bend that he has to dip the corner and stay balanced and make plays in the football. And, I mean, this guy has just been a sponge to T.J. Watt, trying to learn everything that he can, and he absorbs it and applies it well. He's got a really good football IQ. So you see why Pittsburgh wanted to make him that pick. And, again, I think he's going to add some really quality edge depth to this roster.
I mean, everybody talks about athletes, and he's good enough as an athlete, but he's a football player. And as for the arm length, so everybody understands, that's really important in this league to get off blockers.
Yep.
And I'll take you back to one of the great college players out there from the 80s named Mike Ruth, who was an Outland Trophy winner, Boston College, tremendous. And what was his downfall going to the league? He didn't have long arms. He could not get off NFL blockers.
Yeah, and with Herbig, there's a similar concern there, but because he's been so athletic and so technical and so smart, he's almost gone around blockers as opposed to trying to go through them. So there are outliers, and I think most guys with his length would struggle, but, the NFL is full of those outliers. It's a different conversation, but, you think back to, and I'm going way back here, kind of like you, but Jack Lambert was this really tall, skinny linebacker from Kent State. Ted Hendricks was 6'6 and playing middle linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, those kind of guys, made it work because they were just that talented and that smart. Hendricks and Lambert were super high football IQ kind of guys, and obviously extremely tough. And Herbig's not Lambert, I'm not calling him that, obviously, but just there are outliers that work with different body types, and that's what the NFL is all about.
One last question. It's about Matt.
Okay.
Did he often refer to either coaches or other athletes as stupid back in college?
He did, and a lot of other words I can't repeat on the radio right now. So that was his go-to word. For any decision, big and small, stupid was often coming out of his mouth.
Alex, always brilliant, anything that you're saying along the way. We appreciate it very much. Great analysis, and we'll look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, guys. Take care.